Get some more on this in a moment. First, spring is in the air, and with that comes spring cleaning. Now, there are lots of ways you can refresh your home for spring. You can clean, reorganize, maybe even paint. And that's great, but here is the best thing you can do. Get some new bedding. Boll & Branch makes the softest, most breathable bedding you will ever experience. I absolutely love my Boll & Branch sheets. You can feel the difference in quality compared to all the other sheets. In fact, we took all of our other sheets and we threw them out because these luxury sheets are fantastic, buttery, breathable. They get softer every time you wash them. I can't sleep without them. Literally cannot, which is why when I'm on the road, I even bring Boll & Branch blankets in my suitcase. Upgrade your sleep today with Boll & Branch's signature sheets. These best-selling sheets are made from the finest quality 100% organic cotton, completely free from synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, and other harsh chemicals. Boll & Branch's signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin all the way on up to California King. With their 30-night worry-free guarantee, you can wash, style, and sleep in Boll & Branch sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, send them right back. But you'll love them. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code Ben at BollandBranch.com. That's BollandBranch.com. Promo code Ben. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben. Yesterday, Israel finally took control of the Al-Aaron TC hospital in the Gaza Strip. The hospital, Israel claimed, had been used, like many of the major hospitals in Gaza, as a giant shield for Hamas's military operations. The IDF then presented all of the evidence that they had of tunnels under Al-Aaron TC Hospital. We're going to play a lot of the clip. This is one of the reasons you should subscribe over at dailywire.com/subscribe so you can see everything we're showing you here because it really is astonishing.
Now I want to show you an operational tunnel. The tunnel is built with electricity. We first saw the solar panels, then the electricity goes here and it goes down directly to the tunnel. Now you can see the tunnel. You can see the tunnel. The tunnel is let down more than 20 meters down. The robot found a door.
60 feet, obviously.
A door that is bulletproof. It's explosives proof. So it looks like a hard evidence, a clear evidence that the hospital direction is connected. This is a covered tunnel. It's part of the same floor and it slides down here. So it's a covered tunnel so nobody can find it. This is Al-Aaron TC Hospital.
You can see video in the background of hospital.
Place where I showed you the tunnel. I want you to see. This is the backside of the
tunnel
hospital.
Tunnel is no more than 150 feet away, maybe.
Hospital. Tonight we have entered into this building. I will show you the evidence. Let's enter into the hospital. We're now entering into the area of the hospital where we had found the evidence. This operation was conducted by Israeli Special Unit, the Israeli Navy SEALs. This is still an operation that is conducting. And I'm showing you the first evidence to see.
So it's obviously dark in the tunnels. They're walking through the tunnels.
In the area of the basement of the hospital. I want to show you a room where we found all the gear, the operational gear of Hamas. Hamas is using hospitals like we showed the evidence in Shifa Hospital, in other hospitals. We are now seeing it in live in Al-Aaron TC Hospital. An operation still conducting right now. Look at what Hamas is holding inside the hospital. I want you to understand, this kind of gear is a gear for a major fight. These are explosives. These are vests with explosives. Yeah, it's a body vest.
This is a suicide vest.
For terrorists to explode on forces. Among hospitals, among patients, we have hand grenades, Kalashnikovs, and then we have the RPGs. People shooting RPGs from hospitals. This is Hamas.
Rocket-propelled grenades.
Firing RPGs for hospitals. The world has to understand who is Israel fighting against. We are now in the basement. And in this basement, we found a motorcycle. They were all used in the massacre of the 7th of October. They even have bullets in this motorcycle. So they came back from the massacre on the 7th of October into Al-Aaron TC Hospital with hostages on a motorcycle. We're still researching this. Yards from here, We find the chair, a woman, clothes, and a rope. A rope next to the leg.
They're tying hostages to chairs.
And look above this. Look above it. It's a baby bottle. It's a baby bottle in a basement. Above a World Health Organization sign. This is a suspicion for an area where hostages were being held. We're now looking at an infrastructure. You don't need to build something improvisedly in a hospital in the basement. Unless you want to hold someone in the basement, you don't want anyone to see him. Again, we're in the same basement, and here we see diapers, and we see, I don't know, maybe something. We see diapers. I want you to see this room.
Those diapers it's presumably will hold the baby hostages.
Of the hospital. We can see this area is a closed area from the rest of the hospital. We can see the ventilation air that was done improvisely to this area. And we can see infrastructures that was built in here. Toilets, shower, a small kitchen will provide the terrorists their needs. Also conduct a hideout. A hideout where terrorists take hostages and hideout. And I will show you now the evidence. You're now entering into the room where we suspect the hostages were being held. I want you to look at this room. People are putting curtains with nothing above, just wall. No reason to put here a curtain unless you want to film hostages and deliver movies. And I will show you more evidence. In this room, there is a list. This list, in Arabic, this list says, we are in an operation. The operation against Israel started in the 7th of October. This is a guardian list where every terrorist writes his name and every terrorist has his own shift guarding the people that were here.
Okay, so the IDF found below a hospital, RPGs, grenades, suicide vests, and yes, bottles for the Israeli babies that Hamas has kidnapped, all atop a unit set up by the World Health Organization. This would be the same World Health Organization that, of course, lied about COVID-19 and also condemned Israel at the United Nations on Friday, led by Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who called for a ceasefire on behalf of Hamas, all the while claiming that Israel was targeting healthcare facilities. Somebody ought to ask Ghebreyesus just how the WHO resources ended up in the hands of Hamas. We were told that all of that aid was just going to, you know, the peaceful people of Gaza. All of it went to Hamas in violation of international law. Meanwhile, Israel also released footage yesterday of Hamas terrorists firing RPGs from another hospital, the Al-Quds Hospital. Here's what that looked like. You can see in this aerial footage, enemy fire from the entrance of the Al-Quds Hospital. That is a terrorist with an RPG launcher running into the hospital. Again, they are operating from a hospital. There's an Israeli tank in the street. You can see where the hospital is. And you can see an RPG launched from the hospital at the tank. The IDF did kill those terrorists. Undoubtedly, the WHO will condemn the death of these supposed healthcare workers. Hamas uses the most vulnerable members of its own population as human shields. Even the EU acknowledges this fact. Yesterday, they released a statement, quote, condemning the use of hospitals and civilians as human shields by Hamas. Yet this is a basic truth that members of the media wildly downplay, despite their own reporting on the subject dating back for over a decade. It is widely known and understood, for example, that the Al-Shifa Hospital lies directly atop Hamas's military headquarters. The Washington Post and New York Times reported as much in 2014. Nonetheless, the media have poo-pooed Hamas's war crimes and human rights violations. Instead, they've focused on Hamas's constant claims that fuel is running out in these hospitals, even as Hamas steals the fuel. Every single day, we've been told Al-Shifa has run out of electricity, and then, like Hanukkah oil, turns out not true. They've done their damnedest to show the horrifying situations really caused by Hamas in those hospitals, while the media have steadfastly refused to mention that it's Hamas that has refused to evacuate the hospitals. Here, for example, was MSNBC yesterday doing Hamas's bidding at Al-Shifa Hospital.
There is no electricity. There is the bare minimum of medical operations going on at this point. There are some 600 patients inside the hospital, Andrea, but no case is more urgent than the dozens of prematurely born babies who were being held in the neonatal unit there. The electricity is gone. Those newborns, some of them younger than this war itself, have been taken out of their incubators. They were, last we heard, being held in the surgery unit at Al-Shifa Hospital. Dozens of tiny, tiny Gazans on two beds being kept together, swaddled to try to keep them warm. In some cases, medical officials respirating them with their hands, trying to keep them breathing, basically doing everything they can to keep them alive. Hospital officials tell us at least three of these newborns have died so far.
Okay, doing everything they can to keep them alive, except evacuating the hospital. Israel, by the way, has helped to offer to evacuate that hospital. By the way, it is also worthy of note that in the MSNBC framing of that actual report, if they had panned out just a little bit, you actually see the electricity operative in the background of the hospital. This is what the media are doing. Note the moral equivalence in the report. Sure, Israel is trying to provide fuel and Hamas is actually actively stopping the entry of that fuel. But really, shouldn't Israel just leave the hospital alone? We'll get to more from our esteemed members of the media in just one moment. First, Black Friday is in fact coming up. I do have an excellent Black Friday deal for you. A free Moto G 5G phone from Pure Talk. No gimmicks, no trade necessary. Just sign up for Pure Talk's unlimited talk, unlimited text, 15 gigs of data. You get all of that for just $35 and you'll get the Moto G 5G phone for free. The new Moto G 5G boasts a two-day battery life, an exceptional quad-pixel camera, and a whole lot more. It's a great deal. But you'll need to move fast because these phones will be sold out by the end of the month. So if your current phone is on the way out, upgrade for free with Pure Talk. Pure Talk gives you America's most dependable 5G network at half the price. So make the switch today. Just go to puretalk.com/Shapiro. Get this exclusive offer. Select the plan that's right for your family. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Claim your free Moto G 5G phone with qualifying plan. Again, that's puretalk.com/Shapiro. I've been using Pure Talk for, I don't know, a year and a half at this point. Moved all of my calls over to Pure Talk. They have a great tower network. The calls come in crystal clear. You should rely on Pure Talk too. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Head on over to puretalk.com/Shapiro for their special deal right now. So the media have been doing their damnedest to promote Hamas's propaganda. Andrea Mitchell of MSNBC played that game yesterday. Here she was asking the NSA spokesman, John Kirby, about whether Hamas shouldn't be kept safe because they are hiding under hospitals. So here's the catch-22. If Hamas doesn't hide under hospitals, then obviously they're not terrible people and Israel should leave them alone. And if they are hiding under hospitals, then they should be left alone because they're hiding under hospitals. Here's Andrea Mitchell.
Even if Israel's claim that Hamas command and control is under Al-Shifa, as well as under other hospitals, other Hamas units, even if that were to prove true, and my understanding is that the U.S. has not independently confirmed that intel, does that justify striking a hospital? Questions have been raised by General Brown, CQ Brown, and others that even getting a couple of terrorists or a terrorist cell doesn't justify targeting a hospital.
This is the extra burden that we've been talking about for the Israeli Defense Forces as they try to go after Hamas leaders. And you're right, I'm not going to speak about intelligence matters, but we know it's open source reporting that Hamas headquarters themselves in things like hospitals and schools, and they have tunnels underneath residential complexes. They put the innocent people of Gaza at risk in harm's way just by how they headquarter themselves.
Okay, well, according to Andrea Mitchell, though, warfare is like a game of tag. And safe, it's not a tree, it's a hospital, so long as you're a terrorist. If you hide underneath a hospital, then you are now immune from any sort of retaliation, which, by the way, totally undermines the rules of war. If the idea is that your best security is to violate the rules of war, which is what Hamas is doing, everyone will then hide among civilian populations. Meanwhile, Israel continues to go above and beyond any semblance of humanitarianism in its attempt to protect Gazan civilians. Yesterday, Israel actively sent incubators into Gaza for those same infants you're being shown on MSNBC, even while Hamas is holding Israeli infants hostage. You can see this picture. Here are Israeli forces literally shipping medical equipment in to help Gazan civilians while Hamas attempts to get those civilians killed. To his credit, the State Department spokesperson yesterday slapped down members of the media who are doing propaganda work for Hamas. Here he was.
We would love to see Hamas vacate the hospitals that it's using command posts immediately. We would love to see all the people that are calling for Israel to take steps to protect hospitals call for Hamas to vacate the hospitals and stop using civilians as human shields. We would love to see Hamas take some of the fuel reserves it's sitting on and use that to supply hospitals in northern Gaza. We would love to see Hamas have taken the fuel that Israel offered it yesterday that they declined for use at Al-Shifa Hospital. So it's a very difficult situation. And I would say as a principle, I'll just restate what I said at the top, is we do not want to see civilians caught in the crossfire.
Unfortunately, the Biden administration is beginning to cave, just as Israel reaches the central headquarters of Hamas located beneath Al-Shifa Hospital. At this point, even U.S. intelligence has confirmed that Hamas has placed central resources under Al-Shifa. According to CNN, quote, a U.S. official with knowledge of American intelligence says Hamas has a command node under the Al-Shifa Hospital, uses fuel intended for it, and its fighters regularly cluster in and around Gaza's largest hospital. Well, Israel is now at the gates of Al-Shifa. According to the Wall Street Journal, Israeli troops reached at least one of the gates of Gaza's largest hospital, where Israel says Hamas conceals a major center of operations, while medical staff reported deteriorating conditions inside because of a lack of supplies and electricity. The journal also reports that thousands of people in the hospital have been cut off for 3 days with gunfire around the building. That gunfire is being initiated by Hamas. Israel has been warning for weeks the hospital ought to be evacuated. With it fully established that Hamas is using Al-Shifa as cover, Israel does not have a choice but to take the hospital. To do otherwise would be the equivalent of leaving Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan alone because there were, in fact, children in the compound. And yet now, President Biden has chosen to try to curb Israel's ability to take out Hamas. Here was Joe Biden speaking foolishly yesterday.
Have you expressed any specific concerns to Israel on that, sir?
Well, you know, I have not been reluctant in expressing my concerns what's going on. And it's my hope and expectation that there will be less intrusive action relative to the hospital. I remain somewhat hopeful, but the hospital must be protected.
The hospital must be protected. Well, there would be an easy way to do that, and that would be for Hamas to surrender. What exactly, by the way, does a less intrusive action look like? Israel has not bombed Al-Shifa Hospital. Israel has known from the beginning of the conflict and for a decade before that Hamas commanders were located beneath Al-Shifa Hospital, and they haven't bombed it. And now, presumably, they're going to have to send in special forces to clear the place. So what would less intrusive action look like? A siege of the hospital? Well, that's been called a human rights abuse by the same exact people who say Israel should leave the hospital untouched. No, the only less intrusive alternative would be, presumably, a ceasefire, which Israel cannot and should not do strategically or morally. It is cowardice, pure and simple, for the Biden administration to try to hamstring Israel in its pursuit of Hamas. And it's even more cowardly for the Biden administration to continue to play an idiotic game that they continue to play, whereby members of the administration claim they have to continuously hold Israel's leash to prevent the IDF from violating human rights. The reverse is the truth. The IDF, as they have for literally decades, abides by rules of engagement no other military would dream of. And yet here was NSA Sullivan refusing to answer if Israel was abiding by the laws of war.
Is Israel operating according to the rules of war?
Well, Dana, I'm not going to sit here and play judge or jury on that question. What I'm going to do is state the principle of the United States on this issue, which is straightforward. Israel has a right, indeed a responsibility, to defend itself against a terrorist group.
Why don't you just say Israel is abiding by the laws of war? Because they are. They're going well beyond what the laws of war require in such a situation. There's only one reason for such wavering, for such pusillanimity. The Biden administration is constantly attempting to throw signals to its left-wing base, even if that makes Israel's job harder in destroying Hamas and saving its own hostages. And you can see this in how the left, the hard left, is treated by this administration. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, there's a lot at stake this November, so don't be a chicken and shop at the grocery store like usual. Instead, head on over to Good Ranchers, where they have great meat puns. They have even better meat. Don't miss their Black Friday Your Way sale. It is now live this November. Get your favorite meat free for a year. That is right, 1 year of free steak, salmon, chicken, or bacon when you subscribe to Anybox right now. Better yet, when you subscribe to Anybox on goodranchers.com, you not only get a free gift of meat worth up to $480, you also get $15 off with code Shapiro. The only deal your grocery store offers is on expiring food. So ditch that meat aisle. Subscribe at goodranchers.com today. They actually sent me a custom kosher box, all kosher salmon. And I got to tell you, it's awesome. Claim your year of free meat, $15 off, free shipping with my code Shapiro at goodranchers.com. Good Ranchers is the number one place to get all American beef, pork, chicken, and seafood. That's promo code Shapiro at goodranchers.com. Good Ranchers is indeed American meat delivered. Go check them out right now. You're going to get a great deal on the meat. Plus, the meat itself is fantastic. Again, head on over to goodranchers.com and use promo code Shapiro to get that special deal, a year of free meat, $15 off, free shipping. Code Shapiro, goodranchers.com. Also, there is a great evil in the world going on all the time, and that is the evil of abortion. But little things can make a big difference. When you sponsor an ultrasound at preborn, your gift, no matter how small, makes a difference in a very large way. Who will that baby become? What life will the baby live? And what about the mom? A small donation of just $28 gives a mom the opportunity to meet her child through ultrasound, which could help double a baby's chance at life. If you haven't seen the Modern ultrasounds. It's been a while. I gotta tell you, they're unbelievable. We have four kids. We met all of them well before they were born because of the magic of ultrasound. It does change your perspective on everything, up to and including life itself. Get involved today by dialing #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com/Ben. That's preborn.com/Ben. Again, Preborn will take it from there as soon as you make that life-saving donation. They have a network of clinics that rescues 200 babies every single day. It's the best $28 you're going to spend. And if you have a lot more to give, then give a lot more. Go to preborn.com/Ben right now. It's preborn.com/Ben. Okay, so the left continues its radicalism. Pramila Jayapal, who's the head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, she is openly threatening the Biden administration. And this is the great lie that members of the hard left are talking about. They are saying to Biden that if you don't put the pressure on Israel, then we are going to abandon you. Really, for whom? For whom? Let's be real. We all know, everybody knows, at the minute Donald Trump is the nominee, or anybody else on the right is the nominee, all these people fall back into place. None of them are going to not vote for Joe Biden because of Gaza. But here's Pramila Jayapal trying to put on the pressure.
But as you know, Eamon, I also think that we can't take our base voters for granted, and particularly young people and folks of color across the country who are reacting right now to the war in the Middle East are going to be very important to our electoral success in 2024. And I think that we have to keep our pedal to the metal. We can't get complacent and think that abortion is going to save us. It is certainly going to help us, but it's not going to save us. And we've got to make sure we're paying attention to our base voters.
So first of all, I do love the language used by the left. Abortion is going to help us and save us. Great. But the argument that she's making is being mirrored all over the place by the hard left. That would include a New York Times essay by Stephen Wertheim, a historian and analyst of U.S. foreign policy. The New York Times is just a propaganda page for Hamas at this point. The end of this article says the quiet part out loud, quote, "Young voters in Arab and Muslim Americans, constituencies key to Mr. Biden's election victory in 2020, are aghast at his handling of the war. They may not turn out for him next November. Such a calling of Mr. Biden's coalition is just what Republicans, buoyed by polls showing Donald Trump leading in key states, need to put their unpopular candidate over the line." So again, the basic idea here is that Joe Biden should lead a surrender caucus to Hamas in order to preserve his electoral prospects in 2024, which, of course, is precisely the reverse of the truth. The truth is that Israel, by every polling metric in the United States, is wildly more popular than Hamas. And the idea of putting serious clamps on Israel in their efforts to destroy Hamas after the worst genocidal attack on Jews since the Holocaust would be pure political insanity. But if you can get enough very loud people in the Democratic caucus to shout and scream, then presumably the idea is that somebody will cave. This is presumably why you have an entire article again in the New York Times just doing propaganda effort for Hamas. Hamas is the same strategy, as I've said before, as the Viet Cong. Get a bunch of wild left people on campuses and in the halls of power to yell at their bosses and hope that those people undermine Western war efforts. That is the generalized goal here. This is why you have an article in the New York Times. Democratic aides in Congress break with their bosses on Israel-Hamas war. Now, again, here's the deal. If you're a congressperson and you have staffers who are marching in favor of Hamas, you should fire them. You have no obligation to keep people employed in your congressionally public-funded office in order to stand with Hamas. You don't need to do that. But according to the New York Times, there are many, many of such staffers. Quote, "As a tense political debate rages across the country and on the Senate and House floors, there is a more personal and in many ways more emotionally fraught discussion taking place inside the offices of members of Congress. The vast majority of lawmakers in both political parties have rejected calls for a ceasefire, but many Democratic congressional staff members, most of them under the age of 35, have found themselves in stark disagreement with their bosses and the Biden administration on an issue that cuts to the heart of their values." Yeah, their values do involve the oppressor-oppressed matrix, whereby even the most evil human beings on the planet, Hamas and their supporters, all those people are actually the oppressed if they are poor and if they are disproportionately non-white. That's the way that this pathetic logic works. "They say they have struggled to reconcile their personal convictions with their professional obligations, which by definition require they keep their opinions to themselves. They have voiced their dissenting opinions in internal meetings and grappled with what to say on calls with constituents. Well, if you can't take it, get the hell out." For a lot of people, this is a real red line, said Jeremy Slevin, senior advisor to Ilhan Omar. It's so horrific what's happening. Yeah, we definitely need the Hamas caucus signing in on this one. Adam Gentleson, chief of staff for Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, recently wrote on X, "Hamas just broke a ceasefire to slaughter innocents. Some think Hamas will now magically abide by a ceasefire. Some of us think this is unrealistic and offers up more innocents for slaughter." John Fetterman has been excellent on all this, actually, like shockingly good, but it doesn't matter. Aides have been whining and then they are leaking to the media who are eager to hear about all of that. That is the goal, to create this internal pressure. And naturally, Democrats, because they are afraid of their younger constituents, they have decided that they're going to signal. They're going to signal. So you have Vice President Harris saying, you know, people have a right to protest. You have these pro-Hamasniks in the streets ripping down American flags. They have the right to protest. We should listen to their voice. Again, just like to point out here, she didn't feel the same way about anyone protesting against COVID mandates, like at all. I remember her feeling the same way about the Tea Party. But here's how she feels about people who are legitimately issuing calls for the destruction of the state of Israel in genocidal fashion. You know, we have to hear their voices, hear their voices. Or you could just say that they're wrong. You could just say that.
People have a right to protest. We are a democracy. And we should value the voices and listen to the voices. What I hope is that we can engage in conversation and discourse in a way that understands this is not binary, not to mention what it means in our own country in terms of long-standing issues with anti-Semitism, which has been on the rise and even before this happened, Islamophobia and other forms of hate against people just simply based on who they are or how they pray.
Yeah. Again, well, this notion, we have to listen to their voices. We have to. No, we don't. Why? I mean, they have a right to protest. Do we have to listen to people who are chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free? Do we have to listen to people who literally walk on the streets of New York City chanting Khaybar Khaybar al Yahud? Is that like something you need to hear their voices, desperate to hear the Tony Blinken, who overall has been very good during this conflict, but he too is signaling to his staffers, guys, I'm listening. Or you could just tell them to shut the hell up because they're wrong. That's something that you could do. According to the Washington Post, moving to address dissent within the ranks of the State Department over the Biden administration's policy on Israel and the war in Gaza, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told department employees on Monday that, quote, we're listening to those who disagree with approaches we are taking. In an all-department message circulated after Blinken returned over the weekend from a trip to the Mideast in Asia, the top U.S. diplomat acknowledged that some diplomats have expressed reservations about the U.S. backing for Israel as it presses an assault on Hamas that has had a civilian death toll that is heavy. More than 11,000 Palestinians in Gaza have died in the assault, according to the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. By the way, don't believe their numbers. The reason I say don't believe their numbers is because they lie about their numbers literally all the time. I'm sure many, many people have died in the assault against Hamas, but I've noticed how quick they are to tally all of this. So recently, Israel lowered the estimate of the number of dead in the October 7th attacks from 1,400 to 1,200. Why? Like, it took that long. It took literally weeks because all the bodies were burned and charred. It took literally that long to determine how many people were dead. Like 5 weeks it took to determine that it wasn't 1,400, it was 1,200, because some of the people who were dead were actually Hamas terrorists, and some of those people were in multiple pieces. And so they weren't to be counted as separate human beings because they were originally one human being dismembered or burned beyond recognition. So it took Israel, which is a highly sophisticated government, 5 weeks to come up with the actual numbers. Meanwhile, Hamas is just trotting out, like, we have 800,000 lesbian dance majors who were killed in the latest attack. And everybody in the media is like, well, Hamas's Ministry of Health does say it. But bottom line here is that Antony Blinken wrote a letter to the State Department in which he said, I know for many of you, the suffering caused by this crisis is taking a profound personal toll. I know some people in the department may disagree with approaches we are taking or have views on what we can do better. We've organized fora in Washington to hear from you and urge managers and teams to have candid discussions at posts around the world precisely so we can hear your feedback and ideas. We're listening. What you share is informing our policy and our messages. I certainly hope the hell not, because you have a bunch of morons working at the State Department. But again, this is just an attempt to buy off the younger cohort of the Democratic Party, which is disproportionately pro-Hamas, as opposed to saying, you know, you guys are just wrong. They could just say that. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to the shamelessness of many of the biggest Hamas fans. First, a few years ago, I sent in a portrait to Paint Your Life. The process was quick. It was easy. I loved their work so much, I decided to use them again. This time around, I sent them a photo of the entire family, including the new cute squishy baby. It's a beautiful photo, and it turned out as a beautiful painting. Went right up on the wall in our den. I can't wait to send in another photo, this time for my in-laws. If you're looking for a unique gift idea, you need to check out Paint Your Life. Paint Your Life transforms your photos into a one-of-a-kind, beautiful, hand-painted portrait by professional artists. Upload photos to create anything you imagine. You can put yourself in a location you've always wanted to go. You can add a lost loved one to a special location to create a portrait that includes your entire family, for example. You can choose the artist, art medium, oil, acrylic, watercolor, charcoal. And they have a great selection of quality frames. Their user-friendly platform lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. You'll get your professional hand-painted portrait in as little as 2 weeks. It's awesome. It's something that only rich people used to be able to do, and now anyone can do it. This holiday season, you can give the most meaningful gift you've ever given from paintyourlife.com. No risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. Right now is a limited time offer. Get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off plus free shipping. To get the special offer, text the word Ben to 87204. That's Ben to 87204. Paint your life and celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Alrighty, so the shamelessness with which many of the pro-Hamas people on the left continue to speak is absolutely astounding. So last night, Piers Morgan had on Jeremy Corbyn. Now, you'll remember Jeremy Corbyn is the former head of the Labour Party in Britain. And you'll remember him as a shameless anti-Semite. I mean, so much so that many members of his inner team had to be ousted. He himself was basically unceremoniously dumped from his position because he couldn't help but stand with terrorists. So Piers Morgan asked him double-digit times last night whether Hamas was a terrorist group. And Jeremy Corbyn couldn't bring himself to call Hamas a terrorist group because, of course, the far left doesn't believe the terrorist groups are terrorist groups. They are just people who are resisting the evil colonialist Western enterprise that is civilization.
Or welcome Hamas.
Are they a terror? Are they a terror group?
Everybody knows what they are.
Are they a terror group?
Look, Piers.
Can you say it?
Piers, can we have a discussion?
Can you say it?
Can we have a discussion?
Can you call them a terror group, Jeremy?
Can we have a discussion?
Can you call them a terror group?
Is it possible to have a rational discussion
with you?
Are
you prepared to call Hamas a terror group?
Is it possible to have a rational discussion
with you? You
can't, can you? Is it possible? Come on, answer that question.
You can't, can you?
You answer it.
No, it's my show. You answer my question. Are Hamas a terror group?
Listen, can I...
Are they a terror group?
Piers, can I speak?
Answer the question.
Can I speak?
Are they a terror group?
Piers,
can you speak? No,
if you let me speak...
Are they a terror group?
If you'll let me speak, I'll say something.
Go on, then.
A ceasefire means both sides...
You said that. Are they a terror group?
Listen, I said that because
are they
that
a terror
is
group?
Part of the process.
Are they a terror
and
group?
And will can we go...
Why can't you say it?
It was just amazing. Just amazing. Jeremy Corbyn can't say it because he hates Jews. That's why. And he hates Jews, not because he hates Jews as like a specific group of people, but because this fits into a broader anti-Western class of thought that is perfectly legitimate on the left. It's considered totally legitimate. Again, these streams cross between anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and leftist conspiracy theories. The basic left-wing conspiracy theory is that there is a cadre of super powerful, shadowy people who are disproportionately white and emissaries of Western civilization. And it is their patterns of exploitation that have been spread all over the globe. Okay, if you just replace white with Jew, then you come up with just the normal anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, which is why Jeremy Corbyn can't say the thing. Because in his view, it is just a normal rebellion against exploitation, what Hamas did on October 7th. And anything is justified in pursuit of that. That is why this sort of stuff is seen as legitimate. Everything is legitimate, by the way, for people who believe this. Everything, lying, violence, all of it is legit because it is in pursuit of a higher goal, a utopian higher goal, the reestablishment of justice in the universe by the ripping down of civilization. That's what Jeremy Corbyn and people who are like him are all about. It's why Jeremy Corbyn and his crew, they have no problem hanging out with people like Linda Sarsour. Linda Sarsour, you'll remember, was one of the original founders of the Women's March. She was supposed to be an emissary on behalf of feminism, you know, being a radical Muslim and all, which definitely, you know, when you look at the priorities of feminism, women in the workplace, higher education, earning power, those definitely cross streams with radical Islam nowhere. But in any case, Linda Sarsour is considered part of the alliance because Linda Sarsour is, in fact, a radical leftist who doesn't like the civilization very much. So over the weekend, she was speaking in New York City at one of these pro-Hamas protests, and she said that the real problem with people putting up posters of kidnapped children by Hamas is that they are the provocateurs. Again, this is always the backwards logic. The backwards logic is that colonialized, exploited people, they are never responsible for their own actions at any point. If you put up a poster of a kidnapped child and they rip it down, it's your fault because you put up the poster. You are tempting them. There are no expectations at all. They're not expected to be decent, normal human beings. No, they can do whatever they want. And in fact, you are in fact, it's like, it's a sting. It's a sting operation, says Linda Sarsour.
And one thing that I will remind all of you good people that are out here, that there are provocateurs all across the
city.
And what they're waiting for you to do is to waste your energy ripping down their little posters so they can record you and try to get you fired from a job. Sisters and brothers, you are better than that. You are not going to be hoodwinked by opposition and provocateurs to do some stupid that's going to get you in trouble, and it ain't even helping the people of God.
So don't not rip down the posters because it's wrong to rip down the posters. Don't do it because you might get caught doing it, is Linda Sarsour's perspective on all this. Again, absolutely shameless. Absolutely shameless. Now, the good news here is that Israel is making incredibly significant progress in the Gaza Strip. For all those people who are in a rush, this war is not going to last forever. It has been a grand total of 5 weeks since October 7th, and Israel has thoroughly destroyed Hamas's military capacity in the northern Gaza Strip. And presumably, they're now going to have to move into the southern areas of the Gaza Strip and do the same. So yesterday, a picture emerged of Israelis sitting in Hamas's parliament. Yeah, Hamas has a parliament. They haven't had an election since 2006, but they still have a fake parliament. And Israeli soldiers were there flying the Israeli flag. This is pretty dispiriting for all of the members of Hamas and all of their acolytes who have watched all of their positions of power absolutely ravaged by the Israeli defense forces, as they should be. The defense minister of Israel, Yoav Gallant, he said on Monday that Hamas had lost control of the Gaza Strip. He said, there's no force of Hamas capable of stopping the IDF. We're advancing at every location. The Hamas organization has lost control in Gaza. Terrorists are fleeing south. Civilians are looting Hamas bases. They have no confidence in the government. And that is absolutely true. It doesn't mean that this thing is close to the end, but it does mean that Israel is making incredible progress over there if the West can get over its faint-heartedness at Hamas propaganda. In just 1 second, we will get to what's happening here on the domestic front with regard to the splits over Hamas. First, let's talk about the October 15th tax deadline. So it already passed, right? You can look at the calendar. I know many of you might be dreading the stress of filing your taxes. Filing those taxes can be a long, excruciating process. But if you fail to file, it's going to get even worse. You're going to start to pile penalties on your tax debt. That's why you need to check out Tax Network USA. The team at Tax Network USA has a track record of success. They've reduced tax debts for numerous clients totaling over $1 billion. Whether you're looking at a $10,000 or $1 million tax debt, they can help you with a settlement. It doesn't matter if you haven't filed in a year, 5 years, even a whole decade. Tax Network USA is equipped to secure the best settlement for you. Their expert attorneys and tax professionals can help resolve all tax cases, no matter how they started. Don't let tax debt control your life any longer. Take that first step toward resolving your tax issues by visiting taxnetworkusa.com/Shapiro. That's taxnetworkusa.com/Shapiro. Again, Tax Network USA is going to help you get out of that debt you owe to the IRS. If that starts to pile up on you, it's going to ruin your life. Save your own self by going to taxnetworkusa.com/Shapiro. That's taxnetworkusa.com/Shapiro today. Also, Black Friday is coming. The Daily Wire has the best deals around. Starting Monday, get 50% off a Daily Wire Plus membership and all kinds of amazing deals on Jeremy's Razors products and tons of merch from our Daily Wire shop. There's something for everyone. Go to dailywire.com/Black Friday. Get the full guide to all of our Black Friday deals. And don't forget to tune in all next week to find out more. Remember, these deals start on Monday and run through Cyber Monday, but we will sell out fast. Don't wait. Get the guide and start checking off your holiday shopping list today. One more time, go to dailywire.com/Black Friday for the best deals of the year. Well, meanwhile, obviously, the problem of anti-Semitism has arrived in the United States. There's an entire article in the Wall Street Journal that's pretty amazing. It's about Skokie, which is a Chicago suburb. It's mostly famous because way back in the 1970s, the KKK did a march through Skokie. They picked Skokie because it is a largely Jewish suburb. I know Skokie really well, actually, because my grandmother lived in Skokie, and large parts of my mom's family lived in Skokie. So we used to go there multiple times a year. It's a really nice area of Chicago. Well, now, apparently, it is beset by division. Why? Well, quote, descendants of Holocaust survivors and a growing Muslim population live side by side in this diverse Chicago suburb that prides itself on safety and civility. That tolerance is being put to the test as war rages in the Middle East. Skokie has long been known as a welcoming village on Chicago's northern border, with 1- and 2-story homes on modest lots and good schools. A major attraction there is the Illinois Holocaust Museum and Education Center. In addition to its substantial Jewish and Muslim community, Skokie's population of 65,500 speaks more than 75 languages. Over the last several weeks, a bomb threat caused the evacuation of a synagogue. Students staged a sit-in in support of Palestinians at a local high school, and someone pulled up yard signs expressing homeowners' support for Israel. So you know what I noticed about all of that? Is that that is all anti-Israel. So in other words, the Jews in Skokie, who have been there a lot longer, frankly, than the vast bulk of the Muslim population in Skokie, I mean, Skokie, again, is one of the older Jewish neighborhoods in the United States. Every incident cited by the Wall Street Journal is an incident in which presumably allies of Hamas, friends of Hamas, supporters of Hamas were doing things to Jews. This causes tension. This is one of the things that we see constantly in the media. Tensions are rising. Tension. Who's causing those tensions to rise? Why are those tensions rising? Suella Braverman, the former Home Secretary in the UK, was fired from her job because she was causing, quote unquote, tensions to rise by noting that there were giant rallies filled with hundreds of thousands of Hamas supporters and that the police weren't doing their job in actually prosecuting the law. She got fired for that because it was creating tensions. Tensions, cycle of violence. These are all the happy words the media love to use when it comes to conflict where they just don't wish to take a side between, you know, good and evil or decency and non-decency. And the contrast is absolutely clear. So today there's a march for Israel that's happening in Washington, D.C. Hundreds of thousands of Jews are going to show up there. I promise you, there'll be no violent chants. There'll be no ripped down American flags. There'll be no burning of American flags. There'll be nothing about genocide against Muslims the same way there's been chants about genocide against Jews. There'll be no defacement of White House property. Nothing like that. It'll be perfectly calm. It'll be perfectly peaceful. It'll receive one-tenth the attention that the media have given to these pro-Hamas marches. And they're not giving attention to the pro-Hamas marches because of the outrageous behavior. They're giving the attention to the pro-Hamas marches to suggest that the behavior is correct and justified. Again, the basic matrix for the media is that the angrier you are and the more left-wing you are, the more you are justified in your anger. And that means that giant protests, hundreds of thousands of people, those are being ignored largely in the media in favor of covering the dissent of people who are pro-Hamas. And that's really ugly, and it's making life worse for a lot of people. Because again, when you incentivize behavior, you get more of it. It is just the reality. Okay, meanwhile, with regard to domestic politics, so remember that time that Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, was ousted for no reason that anyone could really discern by Matt Gaetz and company? He was really bad. You remember, and no one could really explain why he was really bad. Supposedly, it was because he was cutting deals with Democrats and spending too much money and signing on to continuing resolutions and all the rest. Meanwhile, many of the people who had rebelled against McCarthy had voted against better versions of continuing resolutions that McCarthy was trying to negotiate. And it was all really stupid. And then we waited several weeks, like 5 weeks. And then finally, there was a new Speaker of the House. And the new Speaker of the House is great. I like Mike Johnson. I'm a big fan of Mike Johnson. I'm just going to point out that Mike Johnson is preparing now to pass a continuing resolution that looks exactly the same as the continuing resolutions that Kevin McCarthy was passing. Maybe more. Maybe bigger spending. Why? It's not because Mike Johnson is not conservative. It is because the incentives are not aligned. The stars are not aligned. The political votes are not aligned in favor of a hardcore conservative agenda when you have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic president and a slim majority of, eight seats in the United States Congress. And so this whole idiotic thing about let's get rid of McCarthy, we'll get somebody else, and that'll change the entire magical structure. It's changed literally nothing. According to Breitbart, the House is under new management, but is operating under business as usual as it prepares to pass a continuing resolution that once again extends spending levels and policies pushed through by then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi in last December's lame duck session. Speaker Mike Johnson is moving a laddered CR that extends current spending levels for agriculture, energy, and water, military construction, V8, and transportation HUD spending bills through January 19th, with the remaining 8 bills extended through February 2nd. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer took to the Senate floor Monday afternoon to say he's pleased with Speaker Johnson for choosing not to pursue spending cuts or policy riders in the spending package. He says House Republicans have pursued a responsible measure. Then Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also endorsed that particular plan. Now, again, this is not me ripping on Johnson. This is me pointing out that the incentives are what the incentives are. And you have been lied to by an enormous number of politicians and commentators who tell you that if you just shout pure slogans from the rooftops, then magically you can manifest reality. That if you just shout, we need lower spending over and over, you don't have to look at the vote count. You have to look at the whip tally. You don't have to look at who controls the Senate or who controls the White House. Magically, things will change. And if somebody refuses to do that, if they don't shout loud enough, if they don't make loud noises, then we just oust them. Unless it's Mike Johnson, in which case I assume Matt Gaetz is going to sign on to this because Matt Gaetz fired his bullet and he hit Speaker McCarthy. And now there's Speaker Johnson because of Matt Gaetz. And there's no market improvement in the actual legislation because, of course, there is not going to be market improvement in the legislation. The constituency of the House is what the constituency of the House is. Representative Chip Roy, who's been absolutely consistent and good on this stuff, member of the Rules Committee, one of the most conservative members of the House, held a press conference Monday, and he said, we got nothing. He said, Speaker Johnson continues to perpetuate the very system my constituents sent me here to oppose. They don't want me to continue spending money we don't have at $1.6 trillion spending levels, Pelosi spending levels. Other conservatives joining Roy in the opposition included Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tim Burchett, and Andrew Clyde of Georgia. While continuing spending set by Democrats, Johnson's clean CR does not include supplemental spending requested by the Biden White House that included billions in foreign aid for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, as well as a few billion for the border. It's unclear exactly how funding is going to get passed there because Joe Biden continues to insist that funding for Ukraine be connected with funding for Israel, which again is an idiotic proposal because these are two very different wars. By the way, I support continuing to fund Ukraine in its war against Russia if there's an actual endpoint and because you got to prevent Ukraine from falling to Russia. That does not mean the endpoint in that particular war is similar in any way, shape, or form to the endpoint in Israel's war on Hamas in the Gaza Strip. Biden insists on linking the two. But the House continue again, the incentive structures just do not align. Thomas Sowell famously suggested correctly that when it comes to decision-making, the problem is generally not the decision-maker. The problem is generally the decision-making structure. And that decision-making structure means You can't expect that Mike Johnson is going to magically be able to ram through a budget-cutting device. It's not going to happen. By the way, you know what else is not happening? Apparently, a small number of House Republicans sided with Democrats in moving to punt an effort to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. If there is one member of the Biden administration who deserves impeachment most, aside from Biden himself, it would be Mayorkas, who has presided over a complete collapse at the American border. Millions and millions and millions of illegal immigrants have crossed the border under Mayorkas and been released into the interior. A total of 8 Republicans voted with the Democrats to stop the resolution. That included Ken Buck of Colorado, who you remember is one of the people who voted out Kevin McCarthy. Virginia Fox of North Carolina, Daryl Issa of California, Tom McClintock of California, Patrick McHenry of North Carolina. They voted with Democrats to refer the resolution to committee. So there will be no impeachment of the Homeland Security chief at this point. Some of the Republicans who voted against sending the resolution haven't come out in support of impeaching Mayorkas. So there's even a larger pool of opposition within the GOP conference to getting rid of Mayorkas. They say that these are not high crimes or misdemeanors. But again, impeachment is now a completely political tool, as we know from the multiple impeachments of Donald Trump without an actual criminal charge attached to any of them. In just one second, we'll get to the clip of the day. Proof that there is a God, in fact. We'll get to that momentarily first. The Ben Shapiro Show is supported by Grand Canyon University. It's an affordable private Christian university with a vibrant campus in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, ranked top 20 in the country by niche.com. GCU is a missional, Christ-centered university that strives to foster a culture of community, giving, and impact. GCU's goal is to help you develop into a servant leader who makes a difference through finding your purpose. With 330 academic programs, over 270 online as of June 2023, GCU integrates the free market system with a welcoming Christian worldview into your bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu today. Well, meanwhile, you know, it's rare that you see proof of God at work in the universe, but apparently Megan Rapinoe has uncovered it. So I just had to note this clip because it really is astonishing. So Megan Rapinoe, who is one of the most obnoxious human beings on planet Earth, rich and famous for being a female soccer star, which again, only in America could you be wealthy and famous for being a female soccer star. That's not even a profession. In any case, Megan Rapinoe, she was injured in another one of her farewell games. I thought she was gone already. When did she leave? She's mostly famous for yelling about how America is terrible and kneeling for the national anthem because she's a lesbian or some such nonsense. And she was injured in this latest championship that no one had heard about until she started jabbering about it. And she talked about her belief in that atheism has been proved by the bad things happening to her. Here we go.
And this is a long one, although I'm going to get the Aaron Rodgers treatment, whatever that is. so I'm going to be calling him or whoever did his surgery because we need to speed this up. But yeah, I thought about it a little bit. I mean, you know, I'm not a religious person or anything. And if there wasn't God, like, this is proof that there isn't. This is f***ed up. Eat my Achilles. I mean, what the
f***? Yeah, no, I mean, that is definitely proof that there is no God. I mean, as we've all asked many, many times before, why do terrible things happen to terrible people? Why is that? That is the big religious question. Why do bad things keep on happening to bad people like Megan Rapinoe? Perfectly solid disproof of God's existence right there from that class act. Meanwhile, the Supreme Court has now issued ethics rules. Now, the reason for this is absolutely silly, and that is because the media have decided in the aftermath of the overruling of Roe versus Wade that the Supreme Court is just chock full of people who are corrupt and terrible for violating literally no existing ethics rule. And so now, because Chief Justice John Roberts is constantly in this ridiculous Sisyphean battle to reestablish the credibility of the court or some such nonsense, he has decided to issue a code of conduct following reports of undisclosed trips and other favors that sparked criticism and put pressure on the justices to adopt a set of ethical rules. What exactly happened? Clarence Thomas had rich friends and they offered to pay for his vacations with them, which is not rare at all. At all. I'm just going to point that out. Not rare at all. Does not violate ethical rules. These people did not have business in front of the court. He was not implicated in their business. In any case, the 15-page document said it largely compiled practices the justices informally followed. But, says the Wall Street Journal, the lack of a formal document has led in recent years to the misunderstanding that the justices of this court regard themselves as unrestricted by any ethics code. The code says justices can seek guidance from colleagues, judicial decisions, lower court judges, and the Supreme Court's in-house legal counsel, as well as from scholars' scholarly treatises and articles. It creates no single ethics office or advisor. It does not provide penalties for violation of ethical standards. Online Justice has signed the document, which suggests that it may not be binding on future appointees unless they affirmatively accept the code. Now, the reality is that a self-binding code is completely arbitrary and non-justiciable. The only way to get rid of a justice on the Supreme Court is to impeach him. Congress is free to do that. They don't have the grounds to do it. So the court can assume whatever standard it wants, but there's no penalty that can actually be applied here. The court had been considering a code of ethics since at least 2019, when Justice Elena Kagan told the House committee that Chief Justice John Roberts was weighing the idea after the Me Too movement sparked a reexamination of workplace culture throughout society. But in recent weeks, Roberts has shoved this thing through. Again, one of the reasons this is stupid is because once you actually express a code of conduct, it will unavoidably be used by opponents of particular justices to go after them. It's going to be true left. It's going to be true right. It's going to be true center. It's going to be true everywhere. Because, again, there is already a standard. For a high crime or misdemeanor, a Supreme Court justice can be removed by Congress. That is the punishment. This offers no actual punishment. It's just going to be used for further fodder to disable the court. So, as always, Chief Justice John Roberts doing the work of undermining the court every time he attempts to, you know, actually prop up the legitimacy of the court. All right, guys, the rest of the show continues right now. You're not going to want to miss it. So, would you believe it if I told you that many of the people who regulate your banks are perverts? We'll be getting into that momentarily. If you're not a member, become a member. Use code Shapiro at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans. Click that link in the description and join us.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
We'll get to more on this in just one moment. First, $20 barely gets you anything these days. You can't even fill your gas tank or get a burger and fries for less than $20. But do you know what $20 will get you? From the cell phone company I use, PureTalk, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. PureTalk gives you the same quality of service as your current cell phone provider, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can switch to PureTalk and keep the phone and phone number you currently use, or you can take advantage of their great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids, making the switch incredibly easy. Their U.S. customer service team can help you join PureTalk in as little as 10 minutes. Choose to spend your hard-earned money with a wireless company that shares your values, supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on those fake news networks. So stop spending a ridiculous amount of money on your phone plan. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro right now. My listeners can get an additional 50% off their very first month of coverage. That's puretalk.com/Shapiro. Again, start saving money on your phone plan today with people who actually like you. Go to puretalk.com/Shapiro and start saving.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.